Go on to part C.
Okay, part C is easy. We heard from the tax committee and MMA that the tax committee would like the opportunity to review these provisions to make sure they're consistent with state tax policy, and whether the Ocean Energy Task Force recommendations actually did in law what they thought they were doing. So what we're proposing here, and it's not reflected on your piece of paper because we just had this conversation this afternoon, is that we will delay the effective dates of these tax provisions to give them an opportunity to review this next session. And report out a bill. Okay?
Questions, sir?
Mr. Chairman, what do you mean in that sense? Are you going to say a date certain that, this whole section then you would strike, or set a date by which the first session of the 125th should consider an act, or exactly what do you mean?
Yeah, I think the basic idea was there'd be a general effective date for the whole bill, whether an emergency or the normal one, but this section would have an effective date. It would be pushed off a year, basically, or maybe March of the next session, if you will, to give the committee some time to think about it and act if it put out a bill if it felt that was appropriate. And I think that was the suggestion that was given to Beth as a way to handle this. To give them some time to understand the ins and outs of it.
We can work with the tax committee chairs to address that.
Representative Fletcher. And then Representative Adams. I'm sorry, Representative Adams, you have anything else?
And thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to make sure that I understand, would this language go into effect?
It would go into
effect, I would say, in March of 2011, and then the taxation committee could report out a bill to modify it, or would they report out a bill to put this language in effect?
The way
or some combination?
Well, the proposal from the tax committee chair was to delay the effective date to give them an opportunity to review and report out a bill. So he was okay with having this language go into effect on some date in the future that gave them enough time to review it and to modify it if that's what they chose to do.
Yeah, if I may, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
That's the only thing I would ask you to think of is if this tax provision is important to somebody to prepare their RFP feedback,
right.
I would expect, just give us some thought, that if they didn't have certainty as to what the tax provisions would be, they wouldn't be able to really go ahead and give a good response under the assumption that that all could change in 125th. Now, maybe it's not important.
Well, I'm turning to Habib to find out if there's any chance we're going to see a lot of equipment sitting on in a port somewhere in less than a year from now, or no. So I think the timing will work. I don't think that we need to have the tax provisions in a shorter period of time.
That the only reason I bring it back up is because I was looking at, and maybe the timeline is not important, but I was looking at the timeline to go out for a request for an RFP. Shall issue the solicitation for a long-term contract pursuant to this paragraph by September 1st of 2010. That, just give that some thought to see if that's going to be a variable that may impact a person's ability to come back with some certainty and give the quote. Maybe it's not a problem.
We'll talk among ourselves here, and I understand the concern. It's a good point.
Representative Adams.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Was consideration given simply to dropping this section of the bill, and as much as it is controversial in and of itself, brings up several large issues, as you well know, that we needn't rehearse here, including maybe nicking a part of the Constitution, which would require 50% reimbursement by the state to all municipalities thus affected, among other things. It may be not this section, it may be one upcoming, and I would stand corrected on that, but it would be, what is it, Article 6, Part 3, Section 23, yeah. That may trigger in another point. This is, in and of itself, is controversial enough that it might, the clause that we're holding under our attention right here is so controversial in and of itself. Would it be necessary even to keep it in the bill? And at this point, why not simply remove it and present it to the taxation committee at the appropriate time next year, so that the bill is burdened with something that wouldn't go into any useful effect now, but wouldn't put us in the position of passing something that on its face and because of the language may cause a good deal of jumping back in the hometowns when people see it.
Yeah, may I speak to that? Just the constitutional issue first and then the policy part second. There was an effort in preparing this under C3 to not create a new exemption. If you look at the language on the top of page 19, the first couple of lines, this was intended to say that these equipment, these machines, are already exempt under existing law. So there was an effort just to clarify what the existing law is, not create a new exemption that would trigger constitutional reimbursement. I think it's fair to say that that might not be, you know, subject to, not everyone might agree with that in all truth. That was a view I think that the task force had, and that's what the bill is meant to do, and it seemed to accomplish that.
And not to belabor tonight, I've set on the table something for you further to consider to make the bill perhaps lighter and more palatable. And a close reading of the letter from the Taxation Committee Chair would indicate that not necessarily have all fears been allayed. I think rather than necessarily we go and deal with all of that, which would be the case should this stay in the bill, that it might be wise, since it would have no effect, to take it out and present it as a bill to the taxation committee that will succeed and be here in the first session of 125th. I think you just might be avoiding a lot of trouble.
Well, I think that's a good point. What I think before we decide that definitively, we need to understand whether in the next year anything's likely to happen where our tax policy or laws would prevent investment in the state of Maine. In response to the RFP, that's sort of the question we have to answer.
And understood. You phrased it well. We won't belabor it anymore now. It's just that those who enter such an RFP should thus understand if they enter it under this assumption, they may find that assumption yanked from underneath their feet in not too long a time. So it may be better not even have the assumption going in.
Yeah, no,
but we'll talk about that at another time. We've raised the issue, and so have you, so we know what's coming. I thank you.
That's it for Part C.
All right. How about D?
With D, we have a...